WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
We have clear skies here in Atlantic and 48 degrees. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today with a high around 68. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In area news, officials with Shelby County Develop Source say their 2012 business plan competition is underway. Shelby County New Enterprises is a business plan competition open to all startup and expansion businesses located in or willing to locate to Shelby County. The competition winner can receive up to $30,000 in startup grants. Costs for the funds include feasibility studies, market research on equipment, to purchase and improve property, marketing, and more. Those are all eligible. In addition, the winner or winners could receive other free items such as basic website design, office space for 3 months, newspaper and radio advertising, mentoring, and assistance in completing a financial package. Entrepreneurs with business ideas to implement in Shelby County are encouraged to apply. The deadline to submit an application to the Shelby County New Enterprises is Friday, July the 20th. A panel of judges will select the finalists, and all finalists have the opportunity to present their business plan on Thursday, August 16th. For more information and an application form, go to www.developsource.com. News time is 8:01.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
What'd I say then?
Just
what I thought. I think you need to get your hearing checked.
I hear just fine. Besides, Dave has hearing aids, and he hardly uses them. Says he spends a fortune on batteries.
Well, Dad's had hearing aids for 20 years now, and I heard him tell Mom he just bought a 6-month supply and only spent around $60. I think there must be something going on with Dave's hearing aids. Maybe you should both go see Doug Leonard.
Having to spend a fortune on batteries is a common misconception people have about hearing aids. In fact, on average, batteries for both hearing aids should only cost about $10 a month. This is audiologist Doug Leonard at ASI. If the cost of batteries is what's keeping you from looking into having your hearing improved, I'd like to talk to you. I can clear up your misconceptions and alleviate your concerns. Battery expense shouldn't be a reason to avoid improving your quality of life with better hearing. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Officials at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic report that CCMH has gone live with a new integrated information system, which is designed to stabilize and integrate the facility's technology solutions across the organization, enable the hospital to control costs, and provide a higher level of patient safety and care. The new healthcare information system, or HCIS, includes all clinical and financial software, including scheduling, registration, laboratory, radiology, and several other applications. One change that patients will notice, according to hospital officials, is the need to recreate their medication information in the new hospital system, as the previous list did not transfer to the new computer system. Patients who are seen in the CCMH outpatient specialty clinic are asked to bring either a list of their medications and dosage levels or their actual medications to review with the nurses, and arriving 5 to 10 minutes prior to your scheduled appointment time will help to facilitate that process. Now, this does not affect patients who are being seen by the Atlantic Medical Center, Southwest Iowa Surgery, Eye Associates, or the Southwest Iowa Mental Health Center. The Cass County Board of Supervisors yesterday set June 13th and 20th as the dates for public hearings on the first and second readings of a proposed illegal dumping ordinance. The ordinance, if adopted after the second reading, would apply to all the unincorporated areas of the county and would call for a $100 fine on the first offense if the items illegally dumped weighed less than 10 pounds or up to 15 cubic feet in volume, and up to $250 for the second and subsequent offenses. The fines will increase from $250 to $500 respectively for trash that exceeds 10 pounds or 15 cubic feet in volume. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Thursday gave their blessing for the County Public Safety Commission to send letters of their support along with a letter from the CPC to officials of the Iowa Department of Public Safety in hopes of furthering talks about a possible communications center in Atlantic, which could potentially house the Cass County Comm Center, the Iowa State Patrol, and the Atlantic Police Department's communications equipment and personnel. CPC Chair Steve Livengood drafted a letter to DPS Captain Kurt Henderson, which points out the benefits of locating the Iowa State Patrol Communications Center, which is currently located outside of Lewis along Highway 6, and the Cass County 911 Center, currently located in the basement of the courthouse. The letter also indicated that the DPS would be interested in the joint venture. They could own the building, as they prefer to do, and the company, or the county rather, could lease space inside.
If we look at our current status, where we're currently at, the equipment is scattered in three different locations, everywhere from the room itself in the communication center to our closet down the sheriff's office to the little building out by the tower. And it's very cramped down there. There's no room for expansion. Anytime a new piece of equipment comes in or a monitor breaks or something of the such, there's really no place to expand. I mean, literally, it's surrounded by the jail, so it's very difficult for us to blow a wall out and put a fresh coat of paint on the wall because we'll end up in a jail cell someplace.
The Cass County Public Safety Commission, he said, basically narrowed their choices down to four options.
Option number one is to stay where we're at, which really is not an option because we're cramped technology and that sort of thing. Another option that we had would be to relocate within the courthouse itself. We have what we would believe would be a location that we could use, but it's going to require the movement of some folks that are located in that area. That would be the removal of at least one wall, probably some infrastructure as far as air conditioning for the equipment goes. We don't have a cost estimate on that yet, although it would probably be the cheapest cost, but understand we're still talking hundreds of thousands of dollars for the cheapest cost.
Another option, he said, is to relocate to another building.
There quite honestly are not any facilities in the area that will meet our needs. You know, backup generators, fiber optics, security, communications, telephone lines, and that sort of thing.
The fourth option is to construct an entirely new facility.
Take those hundreds of thousands of dollars I talked about before and add more zeros on the backside of it. Hugely expensive. Would obviously require some type of bond at a county level. That's very much what Adair County did over in Greenfield. Wonderful facility. Don't think that we could do that just for the purposes of having a nice office for the 911 center.
Since building a new facility would be cost prohibitive, Livengood said they're hoping the Iowa DPS will become involved, which would be more cost effective for all the parties concerned. The final decision, he said, would depend on the reaction the commission gets from state officials after they receive both letters from Cass County. Even if the pieces were to fall together for the creation of a public safety center similar to the $2.8 million facility recently built in Greenfield, minus the jail, it would be at least 5 years before that project would be completed. Cass County Board of Supervisors on Thursday approved a resolution authorizing Board Chair Dwayne McFadden to sign a letter of support naming two bridges in the county in honor of two state troopers who were killed in the line of duty 23 years ago. Lieutenant Michael J. Miller with the State Patrol said the Iowa legislature granted permission to rename bridges in the state of Iowa as memorial bridges for fallen troopers. Miller said since the State Patrol was formed in 1935, 10 troopers have lost their lives in the line of duty, with two of them having died here in Cass County.
Lance D. and Stan Gerling were operating an aircraft down south west of Atlantic searching for a subject who'd wandered away from a care facility. And in the course of searching, the plane lost airspeed and it went down, and both of them perished in that crash.
And Troopers Deitch and Gerling were the first aircraft fatality since the addition of the patrol air wing in 1956. Miller said his job was to try and locate a couple of bridges close to where the accident occurred and suggest they be named in honor of the men. The two bridges he chose are west and northeast of Lewis and are not already named in honor of a notable individual. That includes one over Turkey Creek and another over Indian Creek. The Turkey Creek Bridge will be named in honor of Deitch, while the Indian Creek Bridge will be named in honor of Gerling. Miller said the 6-foot by 3-foot signs were created by the Iowa Department of Transportation and are ready to be installed. And finally, in area news, Cass County Sheriff Darby McLaren received an award Thursday honoring him for his commitment to a member of the military who served overseas, who is also one of his deputies. Jerry Hansen, Veterans Service Officer for the Montgomery County area, made the award to McLaren on behalf of the Iowa and National Committees for Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, or ESGR, which is under the Office of the Secretary of Defense. Hansen said McLaren was nominated for the Secretary of Defense Employer Support Freedom Award by Deputy Ryan Johnson, who was required to take time off of his job to serve in the military overseas.
The award is the U.S. government's highest recognition given to employers for exceptional support of their employees serving in the Guard and Reserve. The Freedom Award is particularly significant because only members of the Guard and Reserve and their family members are eligible to nominate employers for this award.
Hansen said the award recognizes employers whose support and goodwill are critical critically important to retaining high-skilled and qualified members of the Guard and Reserve. He says Johnson felt strongly enough about McLaren's support to nominate him and the Cass County Sheriff's Department for the recognition. In his letter nominating McLaren, Johnson said he was ordered to deploy to Afghanistan in the spring of 2009, and he shipped out in June. While on active duty, Johnson says McLaren saw to it that his wife was checked in on and taken care of.
While I was gone, one of the deputies had to remove a snake from the basement. On one occasion, my wife had noticed that someone had tried to break into the house while she was at work. My boss told every deputy to do extra patrols around my house and to do anything to keep my wife safe. He was also going to use hidden cameras that are used for undercover work to put around the house to see if they could catch the person responsible. While I was away, my boss invited my wife to the Christmas party, and she was given a gift like the other wives.
Johnson said his wife was treated like a queen by the other deputies. He says when he returned from his deployment, Sheriff McLaren told him to take as much time as necessary to readjust to life and worked on scheduling should Johnson could spend more time with his wife, whom he was away from for 15 months. And he ended his statement by saying that my boss is great. Now, McLaren, humbled in his acceptance of the award, said it was as much for the deputies in his office as it was for himself because of their commitment to working the extra hours necessary to cover for their fellow employee. He especially thanked former deputies Brian Rink and Don Lappy for stepping in to volunteer their time.
I feel a little unwarranted accepting the award from the military just based on what Ryan was giving up and all the soldiers have given up, and certainly I think the deputies agree we didn't give up nearly as much as they did. We were home with our wives and families every night while they're overseas risking their lives, so certainly I think it's a little unwarranted, but thank you, Ryan, for the nomination, and I appreciate it.
KJAN News Time is 8:11.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
What'd I say then?
Just
what I thought. I think you need to get your hearing checked.
I hear just fine. Besides, Dave has hearing aids, and he hardly uses them. Says he spends a fortune on batteries.
Well, Dad's had hearing aids for 20 years now, and I heard him tell Mom he just bought a 6-month supply and only spent around $60. I think there must be something going on with Dave's hearing aids. Maybe you should both go see Doug Leonard.
Having to spend a fortune on batteries is a common misconception people have about hearing aids. In fact, on average, batteries for both hearing aids should only cost about $10 a month. This is audiologist Doug Leonard at ASI. If the cost of batteries is what's keeping you from looking into having your hearing improved, I'd like to talk to you. I can clear up your misconceptions and alleviate your concerns. Battery expense shouldn't be a reason to avoid improving your quality of life with better hearing. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements, Lloyd Robinson, age 72 of Irwin, died Monday at St. Anthony's Regional Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Lloyd Robinson will be today at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Lois Wolford, age 89 of Atlantic and formerly of Messina, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Lois Wolford will be today at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Bill Wolfe, age 89 of Greenfield, died Wednesday at Mercy Medical Center West Lakes in West Des Moines. Funeral and Masonic services for Bill Wolfe will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Alan Burks, age 78 of Manila, died Tuesday at the Crawford County Hospital in Denison. Funeral services for Alan Burks will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Church of Christ in Irwin. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements, or rather in Manila has the arrangements. Gerald Esslinger, age 85 of Bayard, died Monday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Graveside services for Gerald Esslinger will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Highland Township Cemetery south of Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has arrangements. Aletha Brew, age 86 of Harlan, died Sunday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Funeral services for Aletha Brew will be held on Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Frances Jeannie Carlson, age 59 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at her home. Memorial services for Jeannie Carlson will be on Tuesday at 2 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Nathan Tater Hutt, age 3 of Fontenelle, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Nathan Hutt will be on Tuesday at 3 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle, with the Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle in charge of arrangements. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.